A long lead pass for Matthews. Matthews is in alone. Scores! Holy mackerel! Big Pappy has given the Leafs the lead. And Matthews has goal number 70.
I mean, that goal was pretty incredible. I think he was involved in all goals. So, you know, pretty good leader and a guy that we can look up to.
This might be way down the road here, but I think Ovi's goal record that eventually he'll beat Wayne with will only last as long as Austin Matthews with his career ends.
We can't let him get in behind us. That's the most dangerous man on the ice. You have to, you know, be tighter with, but he's the most dangerous man on the ice because he's earned it.
It's hour two of First Up here on this Wednesday morning, Maple Leafs game day, game number 3 tonight, Leafs Bruins on TSN 1050. In this hour of First Up, brought to you by 2for1pizza.com, Aaron Karolnik and Carlo Koliakovo with you. Man, the Boston Bruins were just pumping the tires of the Toronto Maple Leafs yesterday, unlike anything I have ever seen, and I am here for it. That was Jim Montgomery, the coach of the Bruins. The most dangerous man on the ice, referring to Austin Matthews. We'll play Brad Marchand a little bit later, also pumping the tires of the Leafs. I don't know what's going on with the Boston Bruins in 2024, but they're doing things in this playoffs that I am frankly stunned by. Number one, the switching of the goaltenders I think is ridiculous. Swayman's their guy, in my opinion, would not deviate from that. The fact that they use Pat Maroon and Kevin Shattenkirk on power play one is insane to me. And lastly, Montgomery, yo, Austin Matthews, he's so dangerous. Like, and Brad Marchand, oh, this team has changed. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? Is it the Bruins who have changed or the Maple Leafs who have garnered more respect from Boston this year than in past years? I don't know, but I am loving it so far.
No, and you're absolutely right. It is weird to hear this tone come out of the Boston Bruins because for years it's always been the little subtle shots
that
Marchand and company would take at the Maple Leafs.
No longer.
Even if they weren't playing each other, they would always take those shots at them. And I understand that I've been through it. I've been coached through it. And a lot of the things you get taught once you start participating in NHL playoffs is you always want to do your best to continue to praise the other team versus yourself, because you don't want the other team to know that you present a level of confidence that maybe doesn't exist in their eyes. And you always want to keep pumping the tires of the other team because you want them to make themselves feel good about themselves so that maybe they're taking a little bit off of their game, because you know how it is,
yeah,
right? When people are pumping your tires, sometimes you feel a little bit good. And the Maple Leafs are the greatest example of this, where in this market, you know, every time we pump their tires, they kind of build up this ego to them, and then they go out and lay an egg. And then when we beat them down, they find a way to get back to playing their best game. It's pretty common strategy that we see happen during these times, and I'm going to guess that this is exactly what the Boston Bruins are trying to do. They're trying to pump the Maple Leafs tires.
Oh, and they are pumping as much as they can. It's like Alec Manoah, you know, pressure is for tires, whatever it is. But like, you got to hear what Brad Marchand said yesterday. This is Brad Marchand, one of the biggest rats, pests in NHL history. Now, this guy is going to go
biggest
down
as villains in Leaf history.
Absolutely, without a doubt. And here is Brad Marchand talking about the Toronto Maple Leafs yesterday.
They're playing a really good playoff type game right now. You know, you knew they would. They're built different than in the past years. They're playing a lot more physical, very committed to forechecking, playing very tight defensively. So you got to give them credit. You know, they're one of the top teams for a reason.
What the hell is going on?
That is strategic, my friend. I'm telling you. That is Brad Marchand planting the seed into the Toronto Maple Leafs head to make them feel good about themselves, to make everybody say that this team is the best, because he's been watching this Maple Leafs team play for years. He knows the exact same thing we know about this team, is that when you fill them up with so much positivity, thinking that they're the best team and they're doing so many great things, they tend to get off of their game ability. And that, to me, is very strategic by Brad Marchand. Because what Brad Marchand would normally say is things that him and his team need to focus on doing things better. Wouldn't even try to, you know, give his own opinion on what anybody else in this series is doing.
Well, I thought for sure the quote from Marchand would be like, listen, we don't care about game number two. We kicked their asses in game one. We're going to do the same thing in game three. But instead he's like, oh, wow, they're so different. Their physicality. And I'm like, who is this guy? What has happened to Brad Marchand, who was on the bench during the power play and late in the third period in favor of Pat Maroon?
That.
Nice job, Jim Montgomery. But it is just very different tone that the Boston Bruins are giving, and maybe it is mind games, or maybe that's what they believe and they're just being honest. And it is true.
It's gamesmanship.
Maybe it is. But what Marchand and Montgomery, by extension, talking about Matthews, is true. Matthews is the best player on the ice. And he played like it on Saturday. I would argue he played like it in game number one as well, just wasn't able to find the back of the net. And it's a very fascinating situation tonight, assuming William Nylander plays, which is still an assumption. And we'll talk to Chris Johnson in about 35 minutes, the latest, according to his sources, about Nylander ahead of Game 3 tonight. But you sent this to me, the headline from the Toronto Sun.
Oh, no.
And if you didn't see it...
I just don't get it, man.
It's the headline is The Invisible Leaf. It's Mitch Marner's jersey with no actual person inside of it. Yeah. When the Buds need him most, Mitch Marner pulling his usual playoff disappearing act. Now, I will say, on this subject, which is perhaps the most contentious one with regards to the Maple Leafs and the fan base now, actually remove the perhaps. It is. Marner's play through two games has not been good enough. Matthews...
And I think he would openly
absolutely
admit that.
Now, Sheldon Keefe was trying to back Mitch Marner yesterday when speaking to the media, talking about the good things he's done and how he and Tavares, that line with Matthew Nyes, beyond the Pastrnak goal at the end of the period, which was a very costly one, and it was their line on the ice trying to end the period tied. Unfortunately, they went into the period down one. That, aside from that, say what you will about their performance at 5-on-5. It has not been good enough. But Austin Matthews has given that line and number 16, by extension, a lifeline here and an opportunity here ahead of Game 3, especially if they get Nylander. Not that they need Nylander on that line.
No, but it'd be an added boost.
Oh, would it ever. Nylander, Marner, Tavares on the second line. Now, it might be Nylander on line 3, and they might diversify the offense a little bit more and spread it out. But regardless of how this looks, the Leafs have used the Marner-Tavares group against Pasternak's line. That's a tough matchup for everybody. But again, there are no excuses. Mitch Marner's one of the best wingers in the NHL. Talent-wise, without a doubt, the playoff performances over the years have not been good, generally speaking, from Marner. That's a fact as well. But tonight, and I thought the O-Dog did an amazing job of explaining the opportunity that has been afforded to Mitch Marner tonight. Massive. Back home. After two games, you get the split in Boston. You haven't shown up. It's true. He needs to be better. He needs to drive play. He can be better, and I think he will be better. And for Marner tonight, man, what a chance for him just to go out there and have with the last change. Sheldon Keefe gets him some preferred matchups against a Boston defense that's down one guy in peak who's going to miss tonight. They're probably going to bring in a rookie who, you know, won't necessarily represent the same type of experience.
Well, they'll probably bring in that Mason Lowry kid, that big left-handed shot. I think he scored an overtime goal against the Leafs earlier this year.
Yeah, I think you're right. So it's a great chance for Marner. We know what Matthews, Bertuzzi, and Domi are going to do for the most part. Mm. And that is a matchup that Boston is focusing on. Mitch Marner should be feasting on the opposition that he gets. And whether it's the Pastrnak line, whatever D pair he ultimately goes up against with last change tonight, back home, I'm feeling a big performance from Mitch Marner, and the invisible Leaf will be very visible ahead of game number three.
I don't like that. Like I don't like what the Toronto Sun did with that front page cover. Like, it's just not necessary right now.
If they were down 2-0, could be as critical as you want. But it's a little bit much.
Coming off one of the best performances by one of your best players in you know, in a place where this team has not had much success against a team that they haven't had much success over the last stretch here, you're coming home after a series split, and you want to be negative about a player like that? Like,
welcome to Toronto.
I just don't get it. Like, everybody in this city wants this team to win so bad. And at this time of year, there is so much negative energy that's created around it because a guy has a bad game or somebody does a bad, makes a bad play, stuff like that. And people forget, like, you don't win and lose a series in one bad game or, you know, or even just one bad mistake. I mean, I've always said, let the series play out and then make your determination on what you believe deserves criticism or compliments and stuff like that. 1-1 series coming home and we gotta deal with this type of negativity nonsense. Like, I just don't get it, man. I don't get it. This team doesn't need any more negative energy around it. And believe me, the energy that this fan base creates is real, negative or positive. Like, you just gotta find a way sometimes to just let stuff play out before you have your analysis or your opinion on whatever it is you believe that needs to be said. I think that's disgusting, to be honest with you. Like, it really angers me to see that somebody would take a shot at Mitch Marner like that, so publicly and so, you know, embarrassing to for anybody to see at this point in the series.
Like, coming off a win, it doesn't really make sense.
Coming off a win.
But you know exactly the reaction it was intended to draw. We're talking about it, right? We're promoting it,
you're
essentially.
You're absolutely right.
And
you're
right. So in the newspaper business, which is not exactly thriving, by the way, it makes a lot of sense to do exactly what they did because it will draw eyes and it'll draw people to read the newspaper, click on the website, whatever. Because, oh, wow, that's a provocative
headline. It just
headline
paints a horrible picture for a guy that...
It does.
Look, I get it. This guy hasn't been as good as he should be in the playoffs. There's no secret. Like, it is what it is. But he's been a really good player for this Maple Leafs team. He's a hometown guy. And, you know, he's a guy that does a lot of good things both at the rink and away from the rink. And I just don't think the timing of this was appropriate.
So the easiest way for Mitch Marner to go out and shove it in the faces of
have the game of his life
go
tonight.
Out and dominate, which he is more yes. than capable of. We'll talk to Chris Johnston, our
and
hockey
insider. And I want to be on Ozog's side here. I want to yes. believe that it's going to happen tonight.
Me too. You know what we'll yes. do? Maybe we'll include Mitch in Dump and Chase today, powered by
FanDuel. Let's do it.
Let's support number 60. Leo Koliakovo would be a big supporter. Don't let Leo read that headline in that article, okay? He'd be very disappointed to read it. He'd be like, no, not my boy.
Yes.
Not Mitch. We'll talk to Andrew Irwin on the other side. He was the fan in the stands in Boston who caught the puck in the second period, went crazy, and was just hammered with booze by the Boston Bruins faithful. We'll get his experience, his viral moment, and everything associated with it. He's going to call in on the other side. Again, Chris Johnson's still to come. We'll talk to Andrew Raycroft, Craig Button, Joe Bowen as well. Jam-packed edition of First Up. It's Maple Leafs game day. Leafs Bruins game 3 on TSN 1050. So back in 2017, there was a guy named Dart Guy that became a legend amongst the Toronto Maple Leafs faithful for, I guess, having a dart in his mouth during...
Yeah. Painted face and dart.
The Leafs and the Capitals. And over the weekend, another legend was born here in our city. His name is Andrew Irwin. In Boston, the puck goes out of play. It's 2-2. It was caught by a man wearing a John Tavares jersey. And he's going crazy. He's with a couple of buddies. The broadcast shows him. The arena just rains down booze on Mr. Irwin. Everybody was tweeting about it. And we are fortunate enough to have him on the line with us now. It is the legend, Andrew Irwin, on First Stop. Good morning, man. How you doing?
Oh, I'm great. How are you guys doing?
We're good. We're good. How does the dart guy comparison feel for you? Are you into that one or what?
Oh, man, the whole thing has been surreal. I'm just a Leafs fan in the building and showing my support for the boys, and here we are. It's unbelievable.
So, Andrew, take us through the steps. Okay, so you're at the game. Who are you there with? and you're sitting close to the penalty box. You catch the puck. When you're going through that moment, what's your initial reaction? Do you just want to go crazy and cheer for your team? And how do your friends that you're with respond to that?
Oh, man. So, I mean, going back to the start of the game, you know, the atmosphere is absolutely electric. Leafs fans, minimal. I felt like we had to be extra loud, enthusiastic. We had to show our support for the boys. You know, and we're getting booed left, right, and center, but every time we're showing that we won't back down and we won't go quietly. But, you know, it's funny, before the game, I turned to my brother. So I was with my brother, who is the Nylander doppelganger everyone's been talking about online.
No way.
Yeah, and my buddy Harris Casper. Turned to my brother before the game. I'm like, you know, we're in puck territory here. And the moment the puck went up in the air, it was one of those moments where I just knew, like, there is no way that I'm not coming away with this puck. Wasn't a clean grab, but hey, in the playoffs, all that matters is results. And
that's right.
When I stood up with that puck chanting, "Go Leafs, go," it was a moment where, you know, we were able to say, no, Boston, you're actually not that tough. And yeah, we absolutely can and will stand up to you all. Don't care if there's 18,000 of you, can barely hear the booing. Sorry, that puck was mine and Leafs Nation's. That game was Austin Matthews's. Can't believe all of that. All the boys in blue and white, they took it from there.
Andrew Irwin is our guest. So I was on the Leafs Reddit page yesterday, and I guess one of your buddies was writing that you and the two people you're with, your buddy and your brother, are, quote, super shredded and could have taken on anyone in the building if anyone was worried about your well-being. Can you confirm that you guys are all super shredded?
You know, I can't confirm that, you know. We grew up with those guys. You know, kudos to them and the Leafs fans back home pumping our tires. We appreciate it big time. But, you know, Boston's an intimidating place to play, and for good reason. I've been to a couple games, most notably 2019, Game 7. We lost 5-1. It was absolutely embarrassing. My buddy's in line going to the bathroom. Bruins fan cuts in front of him. My buddy says, you know, hey, cop comes over, tells my buddy that he's wearing the wrong jersey and to watch out.
Oh, jeez. Nice.
So, you know, thankfully this time it was a smooth exit. You know, no one's looking for physical altercations. That's Bush League. But this time was a smooth exit, a couple of chirps. But, hey, it's 1-1 and we're heading back to Toronto.
Were you ever worried that from the time you caught the puck, and most people say that you were the good luck charm because you took on the Boston crowd and minutes later, Austin Matthews scored. For the amount of boos that you received when you were going nuts after receiving the puck, wearing a Tavares jersey, by the way, were you ever worried that you were going to get into an encounter there?
No.
Okay.
He's super shredded.
Okay. Come on. All right.
He's the Ryan Reeves of Leafs fans.
Oh, yeah. Andrew Irwin. And it was Ryan Reeves that shot the puck, too, that he caught. Why the Tavares jersey?
Yeah, it's, I mean, he's the captain, and funny enough, I have the A on it still. Should probably get that changed. But, I mean, he's the leader of our team. He's, you know, he's the stoic man who leads us behind enemy battlegrounds, and I just respect his attitude. You know, I think he's a born leader. So that's who I like to emulate my own life. And, yeah, Tavares.
So, Andrew, you're on our radio show now. It's a huge credit to you because you've become popular. Have you gained a lot of, like, new followers on Instagram? You're a media sensation because you're the guy pumping the fists, cheering for the Leafs in Boston, a game that they won for the first time in like forever, it seems like. But do you feel like your popularity has grown?
You know, it's just been cool to hear from a lot of fans and friends that I haven't heard from in a while. And, you know, they're like, oh, we saw you on the broadcast. Like, that's right, stick it to them. Like, just the whole thing has been surreal. It's been a fun 24 hours, you know. The 15 minutes of fame has been fun. I don't know how much I'd actually enjoy being actually famous, but this has been fun. So,
well, you're actually famous because you took a picture and you were photobombed by Ty Domi. Can you explain to us what happened there?
Oh, man. Dido's a great guy. So, you know, we're leaving the building, just absolutely making a ruckus, ecstatic. hugging and cheering every Leafs fan in sight, exchanging contact info for game 5 and 7 plans. So we're taking a selfie with a group of like 10 Leafs fans that we don't know. And I'm in the back. What I thought was a total random jumps in the pic beside me. We finish taking the picture. I turn around. There's Ty Domi. I'm totally shocked, as if this game couldn't get any crazier. You know, Spittin' Chicklets and Biz Nasty both tweeting about the puck, and there's Ty Domi. He's an absolute bulldozer of a man. I can't believe it. None of us had any idea that when we were taking the picture that he was there. He's just, he's a great guy, you know. Watched him growing up, incredible team back then, and kudos to his son, Max. I mean, he's built for the playoffs, that goal and the rebound. I've been saying all year, just wait. This guy is going to perform in the playoffs. So.
And it has been the case so far. Are you going to be in the building tonight, Andrew?
You know, I'm stuck in Boston, unfortunately. Yeah. So I'm a doctor in Boston. I'm waiting for my visa to be approved. So unfortunately, at this time, I can't leave the country until my visa is approved.
Well,
I'm trapped behind enemy lines here.
Well, we appreciate it. You're kind of our spy in Boston. So we do thank
spy
you for doing
in Boston.
We thank you for doing this, and we look forward to seeing you. Then that gets the game number 5.
Are you going to be sitting in the same spot in game number 5?
I have to be now.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, you have to.
We got to get Shanahan and the Leafs to set him up with some meet and greets after the game if the good fortune continues. Thank you for doing this, Andrew.
Yeah.
We appreciate it, buddy.
Appreciate you guys. Thanks, Dan. Thanks,
see you, pal.
All right, that's Andrew Irwin, a doctor in Boston. Huge Leaf fan. Massive respect for Andrew on many levels.
That could be intimidating, man. Like, when you're part of a raucous crowd like Boston had, and Boston, they're ruthless, you know, and you decide to take a stance and put yourself, you know, in that moment where you stand out in front of all those fans, and man, he was getting abused.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. I would be too scared.
and look, we live in an era right now where almost every sporting event we're seeing brawls break out in the stands.
Just hooligans. When I went to Hamilton to see an Argos Ticats game, I'm wearing like an Argos toque or something, and some of the things that people were saying to me, and I'm like,
crazy.
Relax, fellas, it's the CFL.
Well, Here's a great example. Did you see the other night in Denver, the Jokic brothers?
Oh, my God. Those guys are crazy.
How is anybody even coming close to getting into some sort of confrontation with those two hooligans?
Those guys are huge.
Massive.
And one of the brothers just punched a dude in the face.
He barely looked at him wrong.
And the guy like remained upright, which is really impressive.
Like didn't do nothing. It's almost like he was there saying to himself, oh my God, I just saw my life flash before my eyes. What am I doing? I'm sorry for what I'm doing. I'm going to go take my seat. The Jokic brothers, like, they are the most intimidating duo that exists in sports right now. Like, just looking at those guys would scare the crap out of me.
Jokic's brother, Nikola Jokic's brother, is named Strahinja. Strahinja Jokic.
Nice.
Don't mess with him. If you
Don't
see him, walk the other way. That would be our advice here on First Up. Again, thank you to Andrew Irwin for joining the show. He's our new Boston correspondent when it comes to the Toronto Maple Leafs. Maybe ahead of Game 5, we can catch up with him again. Chris Johnston, our hockey insider. In about 15 minutes, another one of our Boston correspondents, former Maple Leaf, former teammate of yours, Andrew Raycroft, at 8:15. This is hour 2 of First Up. We also have the keyword for Game 4 tickets still to come. That in hour number 3. You're going to want to be listening to that. This is First Up. Can't talk, gotta be to my headphones. We'll talk to Chris Johnston, our hockey insider, in 10 minutes. If you're looking for an update on William Nylander, this is your place to find it. First up on TSN 1050, Karolnik and Koliakova with you. The Jays losing 3-2 to the Kansas City Royals last night. And Vladimir Guerrero Jr., who just a couple of years ago was a gold glover. I mean, that error in the fifth inning. Like, how do you drop that ball like
completely
that?
Completely lost in the game.
And he said after the game through his interpreter, what can I say? I just missed the ball. And yeah, that was all the runs led directly from the drop ball from Kiner Falefa. right to Vlad Jr., and he just drops it, and then they score the run, then Bobby Witt rips the double to left field, and that's all she wrote. I mean, the Jays, if the Jays give up three runs, probably not going to win too many ball games the way this offense is sputtering right now. Right. So that's just a bad one for the Jays. Pissed that one away in a big way.
And you pissed away a great performance by Gausman, right? The guy was reeling and dealing going into the fifth inning, had a 2-0 lead, had a man on first with two outs, routine ground ball to Falefa. He throws it to first. It's literally in Vlad Guerrero's glove, and he just drops it. He misses the ball completely, keeps the inning alive, and they always say in baseball, you give a team an extra out, they make you pay. And the Royals found a way to rally off that. They get two hits that follow that error, score three runs, and ended up being the deciding factor in the game. And not only ruined a great performance by Gausman, it stopped the momentum that the Blue Jays felt like they were building. And especially at a time right now where they're still struggling to score runs, thank God for their pitching staff.
Yeah, and the pitching staff, the rotation has been exceptional. About as good as it has been last year, and that is a godsend. And we were talking about this all offseason, how, it's not sustainable, they can't repeat that type of performance. At least through a couple weeks of the season, they have. Now, on the subject of repeating performances, Vlad Jr. this year is looking a lot like Vlad Jr. from last year. He goes over 5 last night, leaves 4 men on base, is hitting .217 this season. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. has one extra base hit in his last 51 plate appearances. Just not good enough.
And
it's
this
just
guy
not
wants
good enough.
A long-term deal.
Well, I mean, he could have a long-term deal, but if he thinks he's in the same stratosphere as some of the best sluggers in baseball, he is sorely mistaken, at least to this point this year. So, yeah, it's been very underwhelming. Now, it is early, but at some point it isn't early. And you have to consider the fact that maybe this is just what Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is, like an 800 OPS guy who can get on base. I think he's getting on base at
He's got the look of a big-game baseball player, but just hasn't performed as a big-game baseball player.
This is just it. And last year, he had a 789 OPS. The year prior, 819. This year, he's at 681. So it's just regression, 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 year after year after year. And
this is what I want to ask you, AK. Like, it's been probably close to 2 years right now where we've seen this Blue Jays offense struggle at the plate. And I never advocate for people getting fired. I just don't like doing it. But how have the Blue Jays not at least entertained a coaching change when it comes to their batting coach?
Like Guillermo Martinez is the hitting coach. Why he returned, I will never know. And Don Mattingly is there.
How much longer are they going to put up with this?
They do have an offensive coordinator, the new role that they created in the offseason with Don Mattingly, which does not seem to be going very well to this point. I don't know, man. It's a tough watch. It is.
It is.
And Kansas City's had a nice start this year. But, I mean, the Jays are a more talented team than the Kansas City Royals are, and you hope they're able to pick up a win tonight. Again, it will be Yariel Rodriguez pitching for Toronto. Again, the Jays have won 4 straight series, so it's not all bad. But you just have to look at it and be like, man, if they could just get some kind of hitting going, this record could look very different because their starting pitching has been as good as anybody's in baseball. And when you have that and you can add some kind of offensive flair to the equation as well, it's a good quality team. And maybe there's some kind of trade that they can make to add that oomph in the middle of the lineup. And beyond Dalton Varsho,
this guy has bursted out a little bit now. Where would they be if he didn't?
Yeah, and who needs Moreno and Gurriel anyways? And of course, I'm being sarcastic. I think
I saw somebody pose the question yesterday.
I saw that too.
Grade the trade now.
It's still Varsho. A bad trade. It's still a bad trade.
Yes.
But Varsho's been great. He deserves a lot of credit because when it comes to power hitting, the Blue Jays are almost, it's almost non-existent for them. But Varsho's been the guy who's been giving to them at least some type of consistency. So
how many home runs do the Blue Jays have as a team right now? I think I saw this the other day, and it's not very high.
That would be not surprising at all. That would be, I mean, as far as the power hitting goes, we've seen it a little bit from guys like Springer and Vlad. Bichette had that 3-run triple, but Varsho,
21 home runs.
Has been slugging, and Varsho has almost a third of those. So, yeah, it's not ideal. It's not ideal. But today's a new day. 7:40, Jays Royals from Kansas City. We have Chris Johnston, our hockey insider, coming up in about 5 minutes' time. You won't want to miss that conversation. The Leafs and the Bruins on TSN 1050 tonight, game number 3. We also encourage you to subscribe to the First Up podcast, Spotify, iTunes, Apple Music. You can get all the Leafs content on game days or the morning after games, wherever podcasts are found. Chris Johnston joins us next.
This is Leafs Breakfast.
Well, obviously, no update today. There's, you know, not much happening for us here today except for getting ready to travel, but it's a possibility for us tomorrow, I guess, is all we would say.
Sheldon Keefe, a.k.a. Sheldon Belichick, with a rather non-informative answer with regards to the status of William Nylander ahead of game number 3 tonight in Toronto. It's a game you could hear on TSN 1050. Perhaps our next guest might have some more information on Nylander. He is TSN's hockey insider, Chris Johnston. Chris, how many times over the last, let's say, week, have you been asked by a friend or family member about the status of William Nylander?
It's been a fair bit. was getting a lot in Boston about which goalie is going to start for the Bruins. So it's that time of year that this series has featured a lot of gamesmanship on both sides in terms of not wanting to give too much away. And obviously Nylander's situation is pretty unusual in that he played the entire year and then all of a sudden is not available to start the playoffs.
So I'll ask you one more time. Do you think we see Nylander ahead of game number 3 tonight?
Yeah, I'd be surprised if we didn't. Just given the fact that we saw him skate a couple times in Boston and, just how hard it is to miss games at this time of the year. I mean, I would think that it didn't seem to be too grave a concern around him, I would say, internally anyway. And so, I do think there's a high probability you'll see him on the ice here today.
Yeah, I'm with you, CJ. I think the only thing that might stop him from being on the ice today is if you look at the schedule, they don't play again until Saturday. And if whatever he's dealing with could use a couple extra days, considering the series is 1-1, maybe that's the approach they take. But I would strongly believe that he's back in the lineup tonight. Do you expect the Maple Leafs to make any other lineup changes, or do they go status quo?
You know, I guess it's always possible, some dynamic shift with getting last change and the like, but the last game went so well that, I don't think we're going to see any changes. I'm not aware, certainly, of any other injury issues or anything else that would necessitate a change. And from a performance standpoint, I mean, it would only really be if Nylander comes in. Obviously, someone's probably coming out. I would guess Nick Robertson, but they might have to look at Matthew Nyes, too, given the start to the series. But no, I don't go to the rink this morning thinking we're going to see much because, I thought especially game 2, not just the result, but the way they played the game, there wasn't really much there that called for a change.
The play of Mitch Marner has been a very hot topic of conversation in Toronto, pointless through 2 games. If Nylander is indeed ready to return, would you anticipate he plays with Marner and Tavares, or they would look at more of a spread offense approach?
Well, I think you'd see some shifts for sure doing that. I mean, we did see Sheldon Keefe go to that in the regular season. At home you could probably get away with it, but I would suspect that they won't line up that way regularly. But, having Nylander in the lineup just gives you all kinds of options. He might even see the odd shift with Matthew. I think that, Keefe certainly likes to mix and match around. And when it comes to Marner, I think, one of the things that might be being missed in some corners is he's had, pretty tough defensive assignment in Boston, not wanting to give up too much against the passer, not willing coming the other way. That's another thing that, will probably change in this game is Keith will get, some different matchups for him and his line. And, I think it's only a matter of time, quite frankly, before Mitch has his moment in the playoffs. I mean, it's 2 games and it's tough sledding out there. So, I'm not as alarmist, I guess, on that topic as some others.
CJ, I bet you spent a lot of time yesterday listening to some of the stuff that both teams are saying, and to our surprise, it was surprising to see all the compliments come out of the Boston locker room, including from one Brad Marchand, basically saying, you know, throwing all the flowers to the Maple Leafs. They're a good team. They've been the better team. They play different. They're built different. Are you surprised to hear the Boston Bruins talk about the Maple Leafs like this?
Not in seeing the way they played, quite honestly. I mean, this is a different Leafs team. You know, anyone who's watched it closely over the years in the playoffs knows that playoff-style hockey hasn't always, you know, meshed with the way the Leafs were built. And I think that, you know, what Brad Treliving's tried to do since coming here is get more players that can handle a physical style and, you know, match up in that way. And, you know, look, the Leafs' fourth line, quite frankly, has been really good.
It was unreal.
And you know, has had a lot of ozone shifts. And obviously, you know, it's not loaded with guys that you're expecting to score a lot of goals, but they've made it hard. They've helped grind the Bruins down. And so I don't think that there's any, like, I don't think Marchand's playing any games with that. I think he was just being truthful that the Leafs look different, it feels different. And, you know, to me, I'm not predicting one team steamrolling the other. I think this just has the feel of a long 6 or 7 game series. And, you know, part of what both sides are trying to do is inflict some physical punishment on the other to, you know, hopefully tire the other one out when it gets towards the latter stages.
And the tire pumping continued from Boston coach Jim Montgomery. He was talking about Austin Matthews, how he's the most dangerous man on the ice, which is true. I think the guy scored 69 goals. I don't think Jim Montgomery is exactly breaking news with that. With regards to Matthews, you saw it firsthand, the performance that he put up in Boston in Game 2. Where does that rank amongst the best performances you've seen from number 34?
To me, it's probably his sort of his signature playoff performance to date, and obviously he hopes to have a long playoff run here and have chances to better it or you know, deliver something more memorable deeper on down the line. But, you know, just the how complete his game was. You know, he struggled, for example, in the faceoff dot in the first game of the series. You know, he was dominant there. You know, he was winning his puck battles, getting in on the forecheck. You know, had a couple of primary assists and then scores that goal on the setup for Max Domi. So, you know, and then on top of all that, might have got lost a little bit as he swept the puck off the line in the final minute there, you know, when the Bruins are crashing around the Leafs' crease. So, you know, I think that he was extremely dialed in and one of those nights where, you know, a star player is just decides his team isn't losing, not on his watch. And you know, the Leafs are going to need more of that from him and from others. And that's really the secret, I think, to a long playoff run. And, you know, the questions about Marner are totally fair and they're the conversation, but, you know, no one player dominates every single night, even the best of the best. You know, I went back and looked through, you know, Jonathan Marchessault didn't score for 7 games to start the playoffs last year in Vegas. He ended up with 13 goals and the Conn Smythe trophy. So, I mean, you need different players to step up as you go along. And Matthews had his night in Game 2, and we'll be hoping it's a Nylander night or a Marner night or something here as we go deeper into the series.
Chris Johnston, TSN Hockey Insider, our guest. And the night-to-night changes in the Stanley Cup playoffs are so funny sometimes. Like, you look at Colorado, right? And we're talking, man, they're goaltending. They have no chance with Gorgiev in net. And he goes out, and he's really good last night, and they win 5-2 over Winnipeg. He outplays Connor Hellebuck, who may be the unanimous Vezina Trophy winner. I mean, what can we learn about the idea of momentum in the Stanley Cup playoffs? Is that something that is actually real, or is it just night to night, game to game, everything is up for grabs each and every time they suit it up?
I think more often than not, it's not real. I mean, obviously, any team that seizes what they feel is momentum, the Leafs are probably feeling like they've got some momentum coming home, you know, coming back in Game 2 and getting a big win there, playing on home ice tonight. You know, you're hoping to extend the momentum, but, you know, the truth is, the matter is that it rarely does continue from game to game to game. You know, and so that's the challenge of the playoffs is, you know, things are going to go wrong at various points, and you've got to find a way to shrug it off and get back to your game and, you know, execute at a better level and not, and all the while you got to block out your own doubts. You got to block out the noise from the media, from the fans. I mean, that's what makes it, I think, so much fun, quite honestly, is it really is a roller coaster, each and every game, and you know, especially in the first round when everybody's got energy, everyone's about as healthy as they're going to be. You know, whichever teams end up playing for another 6 weeks, it's only going to be harder as it goes along. And so, you know, this is the first round. I mean, anything's on the table.
And I think Toronto-Boston is the perfect example of how emotions change from game to game, where after game one, all the the horrible things that people were saying about mm-hmm. this Maple Leafs team, and then after game two win, everyone's like, well, we're back. Here we go.
Get the car flags out.
Yes. CJ, two completely different handling of situations. You talk about the Maple Leafs and their handling of the William Nylander situation, where there literally nothing's come out about his injury. And then yesterday in Vancouver, like right after pregame skate, it's like, yeah, Demko's out, not going to play tonight, going to be probably questionable for the rest of the series. And you see how that decision impacted the Vancouver Canucks. What was your reaction when you heard the news about Demko?
I mean, it puts Vancouver obviously in a really tough position. And, you know, I think there's a couple different factors between his situation and Nylander's. For one, Nylander, I do think, is very possible to play today. It's not as long a term of injury, whereas when you're talking about your starting goalie and you basically know he's unlikely to return in the series, I mean, I think you kind of have to address it a little bit more directly. But, you know, it's going to be uphill climb for the Canucks right now. I mean, Casey DeSmith, bless him, but, you know, he allows a goal early in the game last night, and that was only his second ever Stanley Cup playoff start. And, you know, I think the Demko situation is, you know, with him missing so much time, five-plus weeks late in the season, you know, it's another knee issue that he's dealing with. It's said to be a little different than what he had previously. But, you know, unfortunately, injuries are part of this time of year. And sometimes when it's that critical of a player, it's just hard to get around the fact that it's going to be difficult to get through now to another round without him.
So Mitch Marner pointless through two games for the Leafs. They're tied 1-1, are Toronto. And in Vancouver, Elias Pettersson is pointless as well through two games. I guess the difference is Vancouver's lost its most important player in Thatcher Demko. What do you think the conversations in the Vancouver media market will be like this morning about Elias Pettersson?
The Invisible Man?
The Invisible Man 2.0 in the Vancouver newspapers, Chris.
You might hear that. I mean, especially I saw post-game that he kind of addressed that situation a little bit and took ownership of the fact that he's not living up to his own standards. And, you know, he's struggling. I mean, there's no way around it. And I don't think there's any reason to shy away from it. He's far from the first great player who hasn't really experienced the playoffs in the same way he is right now to go through something like that. So I don't expect those conversations will be too measured or too... you know, too reasonable, but, you know, that's part of what we're dealing with in the Canadian markets or the most passionate sports markets is it's the roller coaster on the ice. It's a roller coaster kind of in the media or in the fan base too. And if Pettersson comes back and has a hat trick, you know, they're going to be building a statue for him in the next game. So, I mean, that's kind of just, I mean, it really is just how it goes. I don't see any way around it. You know, because every game is so important and, you know, fortunes can flip in 48 hours. So, you know, Pettersson's, you know, hasn't performed up to the what you'd expect to this point, but he's still got at least three more games to try and do it.
So, CJ, we opened the show talking about how great the first round of the playoffs have been because we've seen some amazing atmospheres in a lot of these games that have played. And obviously you were in Boston. You saw, you heard, you felt what that energy is like. Do you think Scotiabank Arena can replicate any type of those same situations that we've seen so far?
In playoffs, I do think so. I mean, I've attended all the playoff games that the Matthews era has, and Marner era has encapsulated, and there's definitely been some nights where Scotiabank was loud. I mean, I don't know if it can get to the same level as what you've seen in other places because, you know, and you can't get around the fact it's hard to get a ticket. I don't think a lot of the maybe hardest core fans are going to be in the building, but I think it'll be a great atmosphere at the game tonight and especially Saturday. I mean, I have to say it was much better in Boston on Saturday night for that game, but it's an 8 o'clock start on a Saturday. I'm sure people had a long pregame.
Mm-hmm.
a lot of people in the building weren't worried about work the next day. Yeah. You know, Monday didn't have the same buzz even in the lead up, you know, not related to just the fact the Bruins didn't win. So, you know, I'm expecting by the time we get to Saturday here that, it'll be a pretty rockin' building on Bay Street.
Chris, Carlo and I will be in attendance tonight, so we look forward to seeing you. Also, maybe let the Leafs know to flash to Carlo on the Jumbotron. He will go full Jason Kelce, shirtless, chugging beers to get the fans fired up. That is his commitment to the cause.
Is that a real thing?
I mean, it could be. I mean, what, we can make it happen.
Do you want it to be a real thing, CJ?
I would love that. Yes. So.
That would be something special.
How do you get think the bosses at TSN would react to me going shirtless on the Jumbotron?
In the media section, by the way, I should add. Like, Steve Simmons is next to Carlo. He's like, what the hell's going on?
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. You weren't Invisible Man I was talking about.
I thought you were going to be in a box or something with somewhere like that so you could be...
No, I'd be right next to you, buddy. Yeah,
that's right. That would be...
Okay, well, I wouldn't recommend taking your shirt off in the press box.
I disagree. That's where we differ on opinions, Chris. It's good for sure. Content. That's what we need. I hear on TSN 1050. Thanks, man. We appreciate the time. We'll see you later tonight.
Yep. See you guys.
All right. See that you, is Chris Jones. The luchador mask? Shirtless? We'll bring
here's
some
the
beers?
Thing. If I wear a luchador mask, I could always deny. Wasn't me.
That wasn't me. No, that was my brother Paul.
Yeah. Wasn't me. I don't know what you're talking
We're
about.
We're identical twins.
That was Rey Mysterio. Yeah. No, that was Jason Kelsey.
Yeah, that was Jason Kelsey. Yeah. I mean, yes. I think back in the Raptors run where Jackie McMullen of ESPN was so disgusted by our behavior in the press box, MLSE might have learned its lesson allowing us into the building, but apparently not. We'll be back tonight. The Leafs and the Bruins game 3. You can hear it on TSN 1050. This hour, first up, was brought to you by 2for1pizza.com. Get a free medium one-topping pizza with a $25 minimum purchase before tax and delivery. Online orders only. Visit 2for1pizza.com and use the coupon code FREEM. When Joe Bowen joins us, he will encourage your shirtless behavior tonight. And that the crowd will just go insane. Right, first up. Stop and then
well,
all throughout.
Here's
the crowd.
Here's what we could do. So Joe Bowen and Ralphie are going to be sitting right above us. If the Leafs score a big overtime goal, and Bowen's the one having the call for it, we could literally go up there and do a group hug.
We could. You're right. The group hug with Joe Bowen. And we are just the most objective journalists out there.
Shout with Taddy and Frankie.
I'm sure Taddy would love to have a group hug with us. That's something that he would be very much in favor of. We have the keyword for game 4 tickets coming up in hour number 3. You're going to want to listen to each and every second for that reason. We'll talk a lot of Leafs. We'll also be joined by Andrew Raycroft. Craig Button as well. Big Hour 3 coming up. This is First Up.
Formula One lives on TSN with every race all season long. And with TSN Plus, go that extra mile with onboard cameras, pit lane channel, and more.
Boy, is it good here.
F1 lives on TSN and TSN Plus.